Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
I'm Jay Moran.
I'm Bridget Jaipal Valenza.
I'm Thomas O'Neill White.
We need to get together and let our voices be heard.
This is What's Next, a dedicated hour to have important conversations about the issues facing the marginalized and underrepresented communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario.
If we're going to have some real healing, we've got to have space to tell some uncomfortable truth.
What's Next continues our mission to discuss race,
equity,
and the common concerns of Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
This is WBFO What's Next. I'm Alex Simone, and I'm here with Niagara Falls High School English teacher, Jessica Forgette. Jessica, how are you doing this morning?
Not too bad.
So we're here to talk about your experience and the overall dynamic with, as you termed it, city Native American mm-hmm. living versus living on the reservation, and just how that experience is really different depending on where in Niagara County you grow up and what services are really available to mm-hmm. To people living in those areas, right?
Yes, yes. And I would say I don't speak for every Native, like every city Native, but it's just I can speak to my own experiences and my experiences I've had with my students at Niagara Falls High School.
And along those lines, like, how do you see it being different growing up as a Native American in the city versus, again, like you said, on a reservation? Mm-hmm. What's that difference?
So for me, I had a unique experience because both of my parents lived and grew up on res. And to see the connection that my parents had to the reservation, and when I say connection, I'm talking about the community, like knowing everyone and everyone's family and lineage and all this. For me, though, my parents chose not to raise us on the reservation. I've never asked why, actually. But that really showed me growing up, I wasn't connected. So when someone, if they mentioned a last name, that's how usually they do it, is by last names, I didn't know who they were talking about. I wasn't really connected in that aspect, and I always felt a disconnect from that. And then I felt like with being in the city, even though my parents, especially my mother, who her family, most of her family still lives on the reservation, we still visited them almost weekly. I still felt the disconnect, though. Like my grandparents did the best they could, you know, teaching me about any, you know, traditional ways or beliefs or anything. But for me, I always had that disconnect. I didn't know things that I felt like reservation Natives knew, I guess.
Do you think it was that you weren't there in the daily life? It was like everything was an effort to teach you as opposed to just going about it, I guess, almost symbiotically, and,
exactly.
And you're just viewing it as it's taking shape?
Yes. It was almost like I was a visitor. Like, it literally felt like a visitor. Not from my family, never my cousins, never my grandparents, you know, not that them, but just the community itself. I always felt like a visitor, and I wasn't allowed to speak my mind. I wasn't like, and this might have been formed in my own head, but that is, in my experience, how I feel, and then how many of my students feel to this day, that they just feel like they don't have a right as a Native. And it just struck me as very interesting that they felt that they were lesser than just because they lived off reserve.
And it could, you're saying that it could even be something where it's a self-perceived mm-hmm. pressure, but it's still there.
It's very real, especially for, like, not just for my, like, the students I've experienced, especially this past year with Native American Youth Club. I started it just because my mother, you know, she lives in the city. She's also a teacher in Niagara Falls City School District. She does the Native American education program. And it ends sixth grade. So I said, oh, you know, let me do high school. And this was, this past year was the first time. And to see my students react the way they did to just different things. We made ribbon skirts. We learned how to make dream catchers. My mom came in and taught them about the history of those things. And at the end of the year, the messages and just the verbal, I don't know, communication that they gave me and validation that they felt being Native, finally. They felt seen.
Along those lines, for the younger generation, is there any way in which you observe that relationship and maybe you think it's a little different for them as opposed for like you and others growing up in your generation?
I would say so. I feel like especially the students that I had this past year that were involved in the club, a lot of them, their family has disconnected so much to reservation. Maybe it's they don't even know the family that lives on the reservation anymore. Maybe it was some sort of turmoil or just disconnect from the family. They have less of a connection than I did even. And it's very interesting to see how they struggle with that and how they literally have said that they've felt like it was easier to pass as white or perhaps African-American than to claim their Native heritage.
Now, you took that understanding, I guess, right? And correct me if I'm wrong, you actually helped to get a social event at Niagara Falls High School itself and get something going.
Yes.
Could you launch a little more into that and what it entailed?
Yep. So some of my students, because when we started the club, I strongly try to encourage my students, no matter what club and just my normal everyday students, to do their own research, to educate themselves. I always tell them, you know, what you learn in school is not the be all end all. You need to educate yourself. So what happened was a lot of my students came into the club and they had researched about, you know, oh, I've heard of powwows, or I went to a powwow once when I was four, never again, and little things like that. And I was like, well, we don't do powwows, you know? And so that's when I actually reached out to Native American Community Services, NACS, and I asked them if they would be interested, because I had never held a social, like ever. I've never held a social. And NACS was amazing to help me out. And they came in, they led me through all of it, and it was quick turnaround in like 1 week. It was overwhelming. But to see the students, not just during the social, but after, how proud they were. Like they were so enthusiastic, so proud of their heritage. And I have a few Afro-Indigenous individuals who, up till that point, felt like they weren't allowed to say Native, that they were just African-American. So to see them feel seen, it really was. It was them finally feeling seen as Native. Because I feel like, especially, and this was even my own experience, growing up in the city, it was almost like you were either white, Italian, or African-American. Like, which category do you fit in? Which one? Or maybe you're mixed, you know? Like, it was never, I never felt seen. I was always mistaken. Oh, are you mixed with? And I'm like, nothing. I mean, yes, we're all mixed, but like I identify as Native. My parents are both Native, but I was never seen that way. And I feel like when we held the social at Niagara Falls High School this past year, my students felt seen as Native Americans. And it was so exciting for them. Now they want to hold like 12 every year, but I'm like, no, let's not do that many.
Well, and what was that reception like from the high school standpoint? Were they very supportive? Is that the kind of thing where you think you'll have more?
Oh, 100%. My administrator already asked and reached out and said, hey, when are we going to do this again next year? And I said, I guess so, yes, mainly because my students are making me. It's a lot of planning, a lot of stuff. Once again, I'll reach out to NACS, which I already have, and they're full support. The district was in full support. Mark Laurie, our superintendent, was in full support. And so I never felt discouraged ever from admin at all. Like from Niagara Falls City School District, I feel like they were like, yes, it's about time. Like, yes, let's make this an annual thing. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, you know, going from a little club with like, you know, 12 kids to now that's holding a social event. And we invite the whole community. It doesn't matter anywhere if you want to drive to Niagara Falls High School, when we hold the social, go ahead. We don't discriminate against anyone. My students actually found it very exciting to share with their non-Native friends what their culture is. And it was so, I don't know, rewarding to see them actually want to talk about being Native.
And looking at the community as a whole, right, Niagara Falls and beyond that, Niagara County, what do you think are the most maybe important resources that are missing when you look at the Indigenous populations, the Indigenous peoples?
I think, and this is personally my own opinion, I feel like it's almost like not just Niagara County, not just Niagara Falls, not just New York. I feel like almost the entire United States, especially the East Coast. I feel like Natives are invisible. Like, it's almost when I tell someone I am Native American, they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and I'm like, okay, like almost like an, oh my gosh, I didn't know you still exist. And it's disheartening to feel that way. Or always asking, oh, are you Hispanic? Or, and I'm like, nope. And it's always, you feel invisible. You really truly do feel invisible. And it's not anything that's supposed to be menacing and, you know, disrespectful towards us, but I feel like people just don't realize we're still here. If that makes sense. I don't know. That's just how I feel.
It very much sounds like a like you were mentioning earlier, a mm-hmm. loss of identity mm-hmm. aspect.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
And so when you look at to the future, right? And again, talking about these younger generations, what are some ways that you could see it changing down the line? You know, maybe some factors where it's like, oh, well, we're doing this thing. So I could see that we're really trending in a good direction here.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say with the Native American Youth Club students, they have really, the social helped a ton. They felt, like I said, recognized, seen finally as being Native. One other thing that they are very passionate about is saving the turtle down in Niagara Falls downtown. They see that, and none of them have ever, they were not alive when it was open. They have no clue what it was. They don't even know what it looks like inside. But I feel like for them in their mind, to have something like that, it doesn't have to be the turtle specifically, but some sort of place that is significant like that, I think it would really help them feel more recognized and feel prideful, because I feel like that is missing. I would say Native American Community Services does amazing jobs of bringing the culture in to the into the city for the students there. But like I said, it's almost like, I feel like my students grasped onto the turtle and the effort of saving it because they saw it as a huge symbol. I mean, that is in downtown Niagara Falls. That is right by Niagara. Like, it was just so significant. So I feel like a lot of them, I feel like in their heads, need to have something like that to have, be like, look at, we are still here. Look at us thriving.
And you mentioned, again, you've mentioned multiple times about the Native American Youth Club now, mm-hmm. And the social. And are there any other ways where you sort of take the culture and history that you have, you know, and you try to integrate that into your classroom?
Oh, my gosh. Every day. Every day I try. My Niagara Falls City School District is very supportive of diversity, inclusion, and everything. I've never felt disconnected or anything from that. I feel like they, if I bring up an idea, they are 100% supportive, like 100%. And for me, my classroom, I always bring it in, whether it's a short story, a poem. I encourage my own students, no matter what culture, I share their culture. I have them share it. I love learning. So sometimes learning from my students is even more fun than just me teaching. So for me personally, as a minority teacher, I feel like it's very important to bring that awareness. Native American Youth Club, they loved making flyers about like missing and murdered Indigenous women and Two-Spirited. So they made flyers and put them up in the school. We did Orange Shirt Day. We did Ribbon Skirt Day. So that's why they made ribbon skirts. And now, you know, next year they want to have more of like more awareness and bring more non-Natives and allies to actually join in on it.
And understanding that now some of these kids are reaching an age where they're actually graduating mm-hmm. and they're going out into the world. Does that sort of, you know, get you thinking about, oh, okay, I'm interested to see maybe how they put their spin on these experiences?
Oh, know? My goodness. Yes. So University of Buffalo has Indigenous Students Day, and ultimately it's to recruit area schools, high school students that are of Native descent, and they bring them to UB, and we do a tour. It's a normal college tour and stuff. And they talk about their UB Indigenous Studies program and everything. And I've done it for the past 2 years. And it's so interesting to see afterwards that my students, because I don't ask the students like, oh, do you plan on going to college? I don't ask any of that. I just say, hey, here's an opportunity. Would you like to join us? Sometimes I say there's free food, which helps. but seeing them in like specifically seeing what's out there beyond Niagara Falls for Natives has inspired so many students to like, I have one student right now, he's going into 10th grade, and he, after visiting UB, he said, I didn't even know you could have a degree in Native Studies. He goes, I want to do that. I want to learn my language. Because I don't know the language. None of my students, I think I have one student that knew some language, but most of us have lost that language completely. But bringing them to UB where I show them, look, it's local. Like, you don't even have to live on campus. You can still be at home. And my student that's going in 10th grade, he is so, now he has a goal. Where he said before, he was like, I don't know what I want to do. And I was like, no, you have so many opportunities. So just to see that, like, to expose my Native students to our culture, but at the same time, make them realize you can do so much with our culture. Like, you can bring it forward, not just in our little bubbles, but educate the world.
And does Niagara Falls do class? Because I've heard talk about, you know, students maybe leaving class to go to Native related studies or something like that. Could you launch a little into what that entails?
So Niagara Falls City School District, especially the high school, is trying to get like internships and going mostly our seniors. And we haven't started specifically with our Native youth, anything specific. That is the hope. I am, like I said, I feel very supported, but I feel like there's always 15,000 things to do before you actually produce it. So that's kind of annoying. But that would be the hope, is eventually part of that program with their internships and all of that. I'm hoping one day to maybe have something very specific to Native students.
And especially, again, like you say, really not just Niagara Falls, but like, you know, I guess all of Western New mm-hmm. York, having such a deep history with the First Nations. Mm-hmm. Is it one of those where you look and you go, hey, there's the potential, if we're doing this now, maybe there's like, almost maybe an elective, right? Where they just say, oh, Native American, like you said, Native yes. American studies, mm-hmm. but it's a history course for high schoolers oh, instead.
Yes. Oh, yes. I would love that. I would absolutely love that. I'm actually currently coming back to Niagara Falls City School District because I'm not a new teacher. I have been teaching now for almost 18 years, different places. But coming to Niagara Falls City School District now almost 4 years ago, I feel re-inspired. I'm actually starting college again in a week, literally 1 week, to go get my Native American or Indigenous education degree, another master's degree. And my hope is that I can take that and accelerate what it means to have Indigenous education in schools and hopefully make a program from the ground up for Niagara Falls City School District. That's the hope.
Yeah, and now that you mention it, and especially with this maybe personal dynamic that you have with being an English teacher, but also now pursuing this other side of education, what's that like? I've heard some stories, right, as far as like the creation story for some of the First Nations and that kind of thing, and you know, the turtle yep. and all that. Okay, but you know, has this pursuit, have you, like, how do you integrate maybe, you know, is there any hope to, or, you know, oh, I'd love to start showing students more about Native American literature, you know, and that kind of thing. I feel like you said about being invisible, mm-hmm. I have no clue what Native American literature would even look like.
Exactly. I mean, that's for every student, Native and non-Native, no matter what school district you go into it. Most of my career has been in Western New York somewhere in some school. And that has always been a thing. I'll bring in a Native author, just maybe a short story. Okay. And I'll present it to them. And it's such, I'll never forget. I did an excerpt from Eric Gansworth's novel, Apple. And it's funny because I read it and I get the dry humor. I guess as my mom educated me and said, it's Native humor. And I was like, there's such a thing? Apparently there is. So I when I read Eric Gansworth, and there was an excerpt, I can't remember what chapter, but it gave it to my students. And we were just like, it was more for, let's analyze it. Let's look at structure and, you know, author's choice, blah, blah, blah. And I remember reading it and I laughed and my students were dead silent. And I kind of felt uncomfortable. I was like, oh, you guys don't find that funny? They're like, it doesn't sound funny. And then when I looked at it, it was, I guess it wasn't funny, but it was funny to me as a native because it was actually addressing trauma, like generational, like boarding school trauma. But the way Eric Gansworth had put it in his novel, it made me kind of giggle because it made me think of my gram. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it was just, but the response from my students was dead silence and it was not funny to them and they didn't get it. But at the same time, it kind of made me sad because I'm like, you guys don't realize. And when I said, oh, well, and I tried to explain, like, well, it has something to do with the boarding schools. And they're like, what are you talking about? And I go, wait, pause. None of you have heard of the boarding schools in America and in Canada? And they're like, for who? And I'm like, oh. And that's such a huge, like, that is a huge history. And they had zero clue as to what I was speaking of. Zero. And I felt very defeated then. Not discouraged, just defeated, had to get over it. And then ultimately now that's when I kind of made an effort. Like, no, we're going to bring something up, whether it might be a nonfiction article from somewhere that I'm going to read about the boarding schools, or maybe it might be the pipelines, or what. I try to bring in anything I possibly can. And it's not specific to just this area for our First Nations here, but any tribes from across the entire United States and Canada.
Do you think that, I guess I'm going to say mission, mm-hmm. right? That personal mission is easier given that you're meeting students and you're interacting with them at ninth grade mm-hmm. as opposed to like juniors and seniors when, you know, yeah. it's like, well, we're out the door, mm-hmm. you know, whereas now you have like, okay, 3-4 years to interact with
100%.
Them.
It makes a difference. That's why some people always be like, oh, why do you want to teach ninth grade? I love ninth grade. I just, like you said, I get to see them grow for 4 years. I'm not teaching them for 4 years, but I'm there with them for 4 years. And it's so different than, like you said, teaching a senior that I've never knew before, ninth, 10th, or 11th grade. Who are you? Great, move on. You know, that's why I think I love ninth grade and having that opportunity to, like my one student, to see him literally go from a student who's like, I'm just here. I'm supposed to be in school, to now I'm going to go to college. I'm going to do something. And he's not the only one. I have another student, Crystal. She did the same exact thing, had her ninth grade. She's going to 11th grade now. College wasn't something that she thought of, but through our visit through UB, she now wants to be a heart surgeon. And I'm like, oh my God, like to see me able to do that, not just for multiple students, but for my native students too, is very rewarding. So yes, I do have a personal mission.
We'll be back with more What's Next after this.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the WBFO app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@wbfo.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is WBFO, your NPR station.
And we're back with What's Next. I'm Alex Simone with Jessica Forgette. I want to sort of talk about something as well that we've discussed before briefly, mm-hmm. But about the imaginary line, oh, right?
Yes.
So that reference to what most of us would think of as the U.S.-Canada border, mm-hmm. but many members of the First Nations would call the imaginary line. Is there a significance to maintaining that mentality and you know, the importance of that, I guess, cross-border mentality?
I think there is. I really do. Like you said, it's an invisible border. I cross with my red card, and I refuse to use any other ID because our treaties say that we were allowed to pass freely. And I think that's significant. Like, we can't let that go. We can't give up yet another thing, because then I feel like we're really adding to this invisibility of our natives, and it's not fair to us. Like, we have given up a lot, like a ton, and to keep giving things up is not fair to us. So I feel like something like the invisible border if we say, you know, or, you know, ignore it and just let them continue doing what they want to do, it's like we gave up another piece of ourselves and we are hanging on to strings right now of who we are still.
And when you mention that, as like my, I guess, perception, right, of mm-hmm. of, and I guess this is to the point of what you said as far as being city native versus, you know, reservation. Mm-hmm. Like it almost feel, it does kind of feel weird to like say, oh, well, are you a member of the, I believe it's Cayuga tribe.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, not the, yeah, the tribe, right? Mm-hmm. Cayuga tribe.
Well, you say nations. Yeah.
Right.
Nation.
Okay.
Cuba
thank
nation.
You.
Yep.
And Bear Clan.
Yep.
Is our, okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, like it, you know, I sometimes don't know how to like differentiate between like, okay, well they're, but then, well, what if they live on, you know, outside of the reservation or maybe even on a different reservation, you know, and, mm-hmm. and that feels like such a, how do you, in your head, how do you maybe differentiate those things or do you differentiate them?
So when I was younger, I didn't care. I'll be honest. I could have cared less. I'm like, whatever. I used to get mad at my mom when we go across the border. I'd be like, Mom, just give him your normal ID so we can get across. Like, goodness. You know, I would get very agitated just because, you know, teenagers know everything. Then as I grew up and started learning, like actually educating myself on what is Native history, like what truly is it? And it actually kind of makes me mad because when, and actually it hit me applying to colleges, because when I put down Native American, and this, I'm 42, so it was a little bit ago, a little bit ago. But if I put down Native American, I had to prove it. And it really bothered me because I could put down white, I could put down Asian, I could put down African-American, and there is never a follow-up to prove it. But the moment I put Native, I have to prove it. Now, it was, there was two sides to it. I understood like the fact of, okay, well, we don't want anyone, pretendians, right? We've all heard this word now. I understood that aspect of like, you have to prove it because we don't want others to benefit from being and claiming Native, which I understood. Then at the same time, it's, why am I the only ethnic group that has to prove who I am? Like, I have a card with a number. Why? You know, it's just, it's very, I struggle with that. Like, to this day, I still struggle with it. I found, like, not found out, but I knew I married non-Native. So my boys, if they choose to have children, my grandchildren will not be Native. Now, traditionally, yes, it usually goes by mother. So yes, that makes sense. They would have no clan. They could say that, oh, we come from the Cuban nation, but they would have no clan because matriarchally, women carry the clan. But to straight up just be told, oh, yeah, no. If your boys don't marry Native and have Native babies that way, your grandchildren will not be Native. And I struggle with that. The other thing I struggle with is we're enrolled in Canada. Now, anyone who knows basic history knows that colonization moved Natives from their original lands. Everyone knows this. That's not a, oh, I had no idea. No, there were people here and we were moved. So specifically, so many of the Six Nations, the Haudenosaunee, we were moved across upper New York into Canada. We're spread across everywhere. Nowhere, most of us, nowhere near our original lands. So my family is enrolled in Canada on the Six Nations Reserve. When I applied for Native American grants and scholarships in the United States, I'm a U.S. citizen. I was born here. Yes, I am a Six Nations citizen also. I was denied all aid because I'm Canadian. And there's your invisible border. Why? Why am I being denied aid? Oh, because you're Canadian. You're not U.S. Nope, I'm U.S. I have an American birth certificate. I was born in Lewiston. Nope. According to the United States government, I am not eligible for any type of aid, at least during that time, for any college because I was not American. I was Canadian native, which that doesn't even make sense. What's a Canadian native? It's not like it doesn't. We're all, it's just, we're native. And it's not my fault that we were pushed out of this area.
Yeah. And actually, I think that's such a, to your point, I mean, starting as I start interacting with people, like in my head, before I started interacting with members of, the, like you said, members of the Haudenosaunee, mm-hmm. the First Nations, it was like Seneca, you know, the Seneca and the Seneca Tonawandas, yep. and, you know, mm-hmm. And I wasn't even aware that those two were separate, you
yeah.
know.
And yeah, a lot of people don't even realize that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And that was all like this area. And then you had, you know, the next block over, mm-hmm. you know, over toward Rochester yep. was like maybe a different area. Yep. And then, you know, over by Syracuse was like where the Mohawk used mm-hmm. to be, you know, and that yep. kind of thing. And like you said, through interactions, it's like, yeah, everyone just kind of blends mm-hmm. together, you know, it's mm-hmm. not so much. And yeah, I feel like, is that something that even still a lot of other people don't like, forget about not understanding, but just like don't even think to consider?
Oh yeah, 100%, 100%. And it's so funny because I like to show my students my red card. And 2 years ago, I had a student, non-native, and I don't even remember how we got on the conversation of red cards, but I pulled it out. And do you know what his first response was to me? And I laugh, but it's not funny. He literally looked at me, he goes, they gave Jews numbers. And now that was, so I was 40 years old, and that hit me like a ton of bricks. And I was like, oh my God, that is not incorrect. But I was like, I don't, and it kind of made me start questioning, like, oh my gosh, why do I have a number? What, why? Like, what is it? So there's still things I'm learning. There's still things that I have to understand. So.
And when it comes to the terminology, right, is there a, like, is there a significance to the, I mean, I can understand using Haudenosaunee versus Iroquois, mm-hmm, right?
Yes.
Okay, first of all, is Iroquois a, is that one just like not the preferred term, or is it like Iroquois is actually like, you know, kind of a slap in the face to you?
I mean, I only speak for myself right. and for my experiences. It bothers me. I don't like being called Iroquois. It's a slang from another tribe that literally didn't like us. So it's like, ew, thank you for that, but no thank you. So it's just I personally don't prefer Iroquois. It's in the textbooks everywhere that all students in New York learn. But I do see a change. Like even I have two younger sons, and one is in elementary school, and throughout the years, I do have to say for both of them, I've seen a lot of teachers changing it and like educating those students and telling them, okay, well, this is, you know, Iroquois in the book or in the passage. Just so you know, many of them are called Haudenosaunee, or these are from the Six Nations. And they make sure they understand, like, what is that umbrella term actually addressing? Because just because we're all Six Nations does not make us all the same. And it's not like we always got along either historically. But yes, we did come together eventually. For survival, pretty much. But, you know, it's yes, I prefer Haudenosaunee versus Iroquois.
Do you think that's a general shift in education, really? Or do you think that's more like because we're specific, you know, because it's Niagara Falls and there's more of a history there?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I feel like New York State as a whole is trying to shift the Native American narrative, I guess, in schools. So that's very encouraging. They now passed where you can be certified now to teach First Nations language and culture. And that's an actual teacher certification. So I do see a shift, a change to make that awareness of this is where you guys come from and this is what land you're standing on and this is the actual history.
And how about the other, some of the other terms, like you said Six Nations, but maybe First Nations as a more generic term versus Indigenous versus Native American. Mm-hmm. Where do you think that, or where do you really prefer to, you know, is there any, differentiation in your head between those terms?
When I hear First Nations, I think of just any, so First Nations for me personally is any First Peoples. So I guess you would call them Indigenous, right? That would be how we, like, that's how I distinguish it. Six Nations, now you're getting more specific to your, you know, Mohawk, Onondaga, Oneida, Cayuga, Seneca, and Tuscarora. Like that, when you use Six Nations, that's what I'm, that's the only Six Nations I'm thinking of. So First Nations would be all First Peoples. So that's how I would distinguish it. Indigenous, I feel like that's important just because it does also globally. I learned this. Indigenous globally means very something similar to First Nations. That's how I've learned it. So I lived in Brazil for a little bit. And when I said I was native, and then I would say, oh, I'm Cayuga, or, you know, I'm trying to, and obviously this was Brazil, so they didn't understand that. And I understood why. Why would you? But it took me a while until one of the people I was working with, they go, oh, Indigenous. And I go, oh, okay. So their definition of Indigenous is First Peoples. It's their First Nations. So that's, I guess, my Indigenous is just easier to say for non-native sometimes, so that they understand, like, oh, okay, you come from the First Peoples here. I guess that's how.
Right, right. So it would almost be like a sense of creating that sort of similar level for, like, maybe if it's I believe, you know, from like New Zealand, maybe someone
that would
from
be
the
indigenous.
Maori.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that would be Indigenous.
Okay, very interesting. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I mean, is it interesting? Is it kind of cool to, like, you know, like you said, you've been doing this yourself for a bit of time, but even still, you're still learning more things about, you know, just, I guess, aspects that you would never think to
ask about. Oh, yeah, 100%. I feel like all of us do this, no matter what your background is. I feel like as young people, we always think we know everything, or we, you know, your parents are trying to tell us this is important. We're like, no, it's not. And we ignore it. And then you get older and you're like, wow, I really should have paid attention. And that's, I think I had started hitting that when I became a mom. And that's when I really was like, I really should have started paying attention a bit more. And it's like, now I'm like 30 something and I'm like, ooh, I don't know much. So I always tell my students, it's never too late to start learning. So I still teach myself. I still ask questions about my own culture, you know, because I wasn't part of it day to day, every single day, part of that community. It wasn't part of my everyday life, where sometimes I feel like for some people, it is their everyday life. That's how they live. And that's not how I was raised. So I feel like I am still at 42. I'm still learning, like, about my own, just my own people. So I feel like it's still okay, though. I'm okay to still learn.
Is it how I feel like it must be tough as well, you know, must be very difficult that even now, maybe the most visual aspect for, you know, in terms of, you know, Indigenous population across the U.S., it's any schools that are, you know, still use the quote unquote Indian mascot, you know, or maybe whatever is, whatever term would be specific to their region, you know, I mean, yeah, how difficult is that?
It is. Like I said, you still feel very invisible. I know for me as a teacher and as a Native woman, I try to make sure that because we don't have that mascot. We don't have that. And most people don't want to walk around with this giant mascot to identify who they are. So, like, for the Six Nations, the Haudenosaunee, we have our flag, the purple and white flag that most people are very familiar with. And I make sure to hang that up in my classroom. And it's so interesting to see how many parents and students will recognize and say, oh, are you Native? And I'm like, yes, I am. And it sparks that conversation. How many students come to me, you know, separately and say, hey, I saw that flag in your room. Are you Native? And I'm saying, yes, you know, and so am I. I didn't know. I've never met another Native teacher or things like that. And that's inspiring in itself, because then it's like, yes, we're out there and we do a lot of things out there too. We are not completely just nobodies. So it's just, I don't know. I feel like it is a struggle, but at the same time, there's little things that we can do that let everyone know, hey, we're still here. We're still here.
In terms of those little things for your own family, Now that your sons are at an age where, as you mentioned, at least one of them is around kindergarten age, is there any, like, maybe mindset or ideas set on introducing them to, okay, the, you know, here's what it's, this is what your grandparents or what your great grandparents would have seen on the reservation, and you know, maybe trying to at least to give them a glimpse of that lifestyle as well.
Oh, 100%. So I have actually, it's one 13-year-old who, well, 13 is just a terrible age. And then I have a 9-year-old. He actually, over this past summer, sparked an interest completely on his own. I don't know if it's just from me speaking on different things. I took a lot of classes through NACS this summer, and just me bringing in like some of the bead work that I've learned how to do and things like that. I don't know if that's what it sparked him, but just recently, he on his own completely, he said, "Mom, why don't we speak our language?" And I go, "I don't know it. Grandma and grandpa don't know it." I go, "And grandma and great grandma and great grandpa, they didn't speak it." And I, you know, and at this age, it's kind of like, and he's, my oldest never asked these questions. So at this age, I'm kind of like, "Ooh, how much do I tell him? You know, like how much should I tell him?" So I know my grandmother was a product of the boarding schools. And so I did tell him and educate him like, "Oh, well, she went to a school, boarding, like where she lived. It was a boarding school." And I explained to him that she, you know, wasn't allowed to speak her language. It was not accepted. You don't speak that. So I go, "So generation after generation, we just lost it and no one speaks it as much." And now my 9-year-old son wants me to find a program that he can go and learn how to speak any of the Six Nations languages, because he said, "It doesn't matter. We don't have to be Cayuga. It can be Mohawk." You know, he doesn't care at all. And it's just interesting because he is one that has always struggled. Like I stated before, my mother is part of, or runs the Indian education program, Native American education program for Niagara Falls City School District. And so she pulls Native students out and teaches them, you know, phrases, how to count in Cayuga, things like that. And my youngest, he kind of not gets picked on, but questioned, because my youngest is blonde hair, very fair skin, and hazel eyes. And people will question, like, "Why do you go to that?" You know, and as a mom, it breaks my heart. But at the same time, it makes me very happy that he's never let that break his spirit, because he is determined. He wants to learn. He wants to understand it. So as mom, now I'm grasping, because now going back to opportunities, we don't have those around here. We don't have very many that have, we don't have very many people that speak the language of any of the Six Nations. Tuscarora Indian Reservation, they have some really good immersion programs that are really picking up, and it's awesome to see that on that reservation. Six Nations in Canada, they just got approval for a actual like language school from, I believe, I don't quote me, but I think it was supposed to be from kindergarten to 12th grade is their goal, and they are going to be taught in the language. Like, and that is amazing. So part of me is like, "I'm going to send you to Canada." but, you know, it's, that would be something that I would like to see eventually. Like, I don't speak the language, though. So I don't know. That's something I'm not educated on. But to see my 9-year-old son say, "No, I want to learn. I want to learn how to speak our language." And it makes me the happiest person on earth, because I'm like, yes. So it's good to see my own children value their culture way sooner than I did.
So basically a sort of renaissance of the Six Nations culture. Okay.
Oh, yeah. 100%. And I feel it in my students even, that it's, they're proud, where I feel like my generation and even maybe before and after me a little bit, I don't think we were proud. I think it was easier to just pass, easier to say, "Yeah, I'm mixed." Like, it was easier to say, "Yep, I'm Hispanic." You know, it was just easier instead of having a conversation, having to explain and having to. I think my generation wasn't really wanting to do that. And many of us that I know of my age, it did take us a while. A lot of us are just now acknowledging, "Oh, okay, I'm okay. I can do this. I am proud of who I am." So it is. It's, I'm hoping it's a new renaissance for this younger generation to grab that culture and run with it.
Well, and your descriptions of their attitudes, it sounds like they're almost adamant, right, that mm-hmm. they want this. And so is that, I guess, is that the difference? Maybe that your generation wasn't adamant, and because it's such an uphill battle, mm-hmm. that is really the level of, attitude investment that mm-hmm. might be needed.
I think so. And I think it also matters for representation. For my students to see, for my Native students to see a Native teacher in front of them is very different. If you look at other research, you can look at African Americans. They have done research that when you have that representation, they're usually a little bit more successful. So when we have a Native teacher in front of Native students, it validates them. Like, oh my gosh, look at her. She understands it. Like, she gets it. And I have students from different tribes, completely different nations, not even around this area. Some of them from Massachusetts, but it's still that valid, like, wow, you aren't my auntie. You're not my uncle. Like, you're a complete stranger, and you're Native. And I feel like that's the validation that I feel like some of them, like, especially I didn't have, again, the person that I learned Native education from in Niagara Falls, because I'm a Niagara Falls City School District graduate also. The person I learned Native education program through was my grandma, who I saw every weekend. So I never thought that, like, I was like, oh, okay, well, it's just my grandma who has that education, or, oh, it's just, it was never a stranger, another Native doing something. So I feel like sometimes, and I students have said that to me, that it's so cool to have that Native teacher. And I'm like, oh, okay. So.
And I guess probably last question here from me is first of all, anything else that we haven't mentioned that you want to bring up that you think we...
No, I think it's good. I think we're heading in the right direction. Awareness is first. That's it. Awareness.
Okay. So to wrap up then, anything that you're looking to specifically, maybe new things you're looking to add on, as far as your programs or other things within the Native American Youth Club that maybe, might be good to keep an eye on as far as, promotional aspects.
Well, we're definitely holding at least one social again this year at Niagara Falls High School. Not sure yet when. Working with NACS again on that one. They're a great help to me, and I could not be more thankful for them. But I'm also, we're going to start bringing the students on field trips that are the Gundagan out in Rochester. They're a great resource. And I think for right now, I know my mom always gets mad. I'm starting small and hopefully go bigger within the next, 5-10 years, because I have aspirations. But I really do little baby steps right now, staying with the club right now. But my hope is, in a few years, I want to have a full-fledged, true pre-K through 12 Indian education program, Native American, Haudenosaunee, I don't know yet. I have no idea. Maybe it's all First Nations. I don't know. But I really want to see that happen in the city of Niagara Falls first. And hopefully maybe it'll be a program that can be replicated other places for off-reserve children.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you again for coming in. This is Alex Simone for WBFO with Niagara Falls High School teacher Jessica Forgette, who has been promoting the Native American studies within her local district. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.